Bertrand. That's the story right there. Forgive me on the date. I'm sorry. I don't know how I did that. Today's my birthday. I should have known that it was. What was right? I should have known. I'm sorry. I should have known that. Okay, let me get to where I want to go. Wow, no disclosures to claim. And then I want to skip over here because this is actually the focus of what this is about. So let me go, especially since so many people are aware of school-based health centers. When I think Serena asked, it looks like a lot of you know what school-based health centers do, so I don't need to give you that kind of background. I just want to move right into what we're doing now, knowing what school-based health centers can do. So again, I'm sure you're all aware about a high school dropout rate in this country. And you gave an example, I think you said 47%
graduate.
Okay, so that means the other 53% aren't graduating, at least the way the data is collected. And we know there's some problems with data collection to get that number accurate. We do know that, and hopefully soon we'll have that rectified. But let's go with what we know. Excuse me, we know that more males than females are dropping out of high school or school. We know that more males of color are dropping out, more females of color are dropping out, and we know that nearly 50% of African American, Latino, and American Indian students do not graduate on time. In terms of why they drop out, you can go back and forth between these reasons. I mean, it really doesn't really matter, does it? The point is they're dropping out. And what we need to know is why, in order to focus addressing those issues so that they are no longer issues and kids can graduate, young people can graduate. For males, it's violence and aggression, behavioral and disciplinary issues. And I also want to say, when we mention disciplinary issues, we're not just talking about their own discipline issues, but also disciplinary policies that have gotten more and more aggressive, particularly towards males of color in this country. So I want to put that on the table, that it is an issue. Drugs and crime, excuse me? I'm sorry. That's okay. Drugs and crime and the need to work, right? They have family circumstances that they have to leave school in order to earn money for their family, even if it's minimum wage at McDonald's. It's bringing in resources into that household. For females, number one reason, no surprise, pregnancy. Poor school performance, absenteeism, all interrelated. School violence and safety concerns, all of these are interrelated. And for both groups, one of the major factors, and Janita, Dr. Richardson spoke to this, is disengagement and lack of connectedness. Or maybe it's lack of connectedness that leads to disengagement. Okay, but in any event, that those two factors apply to both males and females. And so a key point here, because we are a public health audience, is that these are the social determinants of educational success are the same social determinants of health when we talk about it from a public health perspective. So so more recent work is calling these out as educationally relevant health disparities, particularly for urban minority youth, which is where our numbers are at the greatest. And this is the order, or excuse me, the listing of the issues that are not only health disparities, but are directly educationally related. Teen pregnancy, I already mentioned. Hunger, and on the other side of that coin is food insecurity, access to food. Often we talk about folks are more focused on childhood obesity. I would encourage you to think about the other side of that coin, and that you have a lot of hungry children who are obese because of the access to the type of food that they have or access to the type of food that they don't have. And so I want to point that out to you, and I'm going to point you to a particular issue brief on that as well. School violence, physical activity or the lack of physical activity, asthma, vision, and attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity, are some of the issues, the key issues, priority issues, if you go by what Dr. Charles Besh identifies, that will derail a young person's educational success and impedes their ability to move forward. So knowing that, it begs the question, okay, so what? And we use this over and over again because I think it's so appropriate. You can't educate people that are not healthy, but you certainly can't keep them healthy if they're not educated. And I think we see that when they become adults, right? Poorer health amongst those with less education, lower income, lower status, economic status in occupations as well as employment. High school dropouts are 28% less likely to have health insurance, 40% are uninsured, and they're more likely, to make this connection back to our public health agenda, more likely to have premature deaths from cardiovascular disease, cancer, infection, lung disease, and diabetes. So it comes right back into, if they're not educated, that we're going to have health consequences later on when they become adults. Okay, so the public health imperative, as far as we're concerned, is that everyone graduates, right? Everyone graduates. That ought to be our agenda. Everyone graduates. And so with that, APHA, and let me move, I'm going to move very quickly to this area here. Establish the Center for School Health and Education, which was designed to focus on exactly that. How do we address these health disparities that are also contributing to educational disparities and inequities to help kids graduate? And we do that through a public health framework, a public health approach, and that includes, as you know, on the ground, convening stakeholders, including youth. I mean, if you didn't know that before you left here, I hope and pray you will never start another program or activity in your school or school-based health center or health department for that matter without the engagement of young people. If nothing else, please think about that. We examine the data over time, looking at the prevalence, looking at resources. We know about needs assessment, although Bertrand shared with us that they were doing needs assessments, which their data is probably more valid because they'll get more honest answers out of the young people, okay? So think about that. And then we create a common vision. We say the common vision is that everyone graduates, okay? Then we know how to develop in public health, develop and implement comprehensive, coordinated strategies for graduation and in response to both the social and the health factors, and then most importantly, monitor progress and evaluate the work. So with that, what we're doing, and keeping this in mind, that it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men, by Frederick Douglass, what we're doing is we are focusing our area, our work, on a few key social issues that if you take one of the folders in the back, you will find them issue briefs that have detailed them much more detail than I can do in this time that I have left. But we're focusing on activities around bullying, suicide prevention, around the hunger and obesity issue, school violence, and wellness, overall wellness and emotional health of young people. And again, there are issue briefs in the folders that will elaborate on each one of those. That's the area that we want to harness what we know that school-based health centers can do, push them outside of the clinic walls, into the entire school building, and address the whole school population from a population focus and a primary prevention focus. That is the energy and the focus that we bring to your American Public Health Association. And so here's a little blurb about it, and I'm going to stop there and ask you to take the folders, and we can move to more specific questions on that. You're going to moderate that, right? Okay. Oh, one thing I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot. How could I forget? We just published a book on school-based health care. How did I forget that? Oh, my gosh. We just published a book on school-based health care by the American Public Health Association Press. And what the intent of this book, that's what I was going to use my last minute for. The intent of this book is that it captures what we know, both empirical evidence as well as practice evidence as well as policy opportunities for over the last 10 to 15 years. There hasn't been one published since the late 80s, and so we felt there was a need to capture and bring forth what we've learned in one place There's going to be a book signing this afternoon. Janita Richardson and I are the co-editors. We also have chapters in there. Serena has a chapter in there as well. Dr. Marsha Broussard has a number of chapters in there as well. And so we feel that this is a good reference book on school-based healthcare, and hope that you will, today's the signing at 2 o'clock, and we hope that you will see this as something you need to have and refer to as you think about the role of school-based health centers moving forward. Is that all?